Thursday, 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 33 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's art support experts. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you guys are staying warm. Talk about it being cold. Chase, man, I was just, I was over at the dog park with my dog. Same old routine. You guys know the drill, but you talk about it being freezing outside, man. And yeah, I just... I told you guys, I'm getting soft. Back in the day, we used to, you know, wear no sleeves, practicing in weather like this and whatnot. But I'm not a fan of it, man. Grew up in South Carolina, very similar climate to here. Not a big fan of the cold. Chase, you a fan of the cold?
That cold can stay away. I don't like the cold either, Christian. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know what it does. It's something about it, man. I mean, my muscles, my joints, they feel tight. Thank God I got these Good Feet art supports to help eliminate and alleviate that. So if you guys are feeling like that, a little stiff with all this cold, make sure you drop by the Good Feet store, America's art support experts. Try before you buy. Nothing to lose. Again, they're right here in Tuscaloosa, Midtown Village off McFarland Boulevard. You can't miss them. Walk-ins are welcome. Or you can always go to their website, goodfeet.com, schedule an appointment. Find the nearest location to you because they are nationwide, not only in Tuscaloosa, but also Birmingham, Mobile. I think there's a total of 5 locations in Alabama now. They're growing exponentially, and they continue to grow at a very high rate because these things are awesome. So, again, make sure you guys check them out. Clinically proven to eliminate and alleviate that pain in 4 short weeks. Now, they can't change the weather. I wish they could, but they definitely can change how you feel, and that's most important. Everything starts from the ground up. So make sure you guys go check them out at the Good Feet Store. Again, that's the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives. 2 feet at a time. Chase, we might be pretty soft. I'm looking at I guess I got the weather here on my screen. It says 36 degrees here in Alabama. That's pretty dang cold for us here. I see Mike in the chat. Now, you know, Mike's from up north. He's in New York. 10 degrees, he says, with the wind chill. So maybe we are a little soft down here. I mean, 36 versus 10 degrees. I'll gladly take the 36 degrees. But enough for the weather. What are we all here for? We're here to talk some sports, right? We're talking some ball today, and it's Talking Tuesday. We want to do that with you guys. 205-342-9904 is the number. Make sure you guys hit us up, man. We've got Clint Lamb at the top of the hour. Besides that, we're pretty open. So if you guys want to get y'all's thoughts about this game, feel free to contact us, and we'll talk about it. Or you can always tune into the stream on YouTube at The Miller's Edge or on Facebook as well at Tide 100.9. You can leave your questions, comments, and concerns in the chat, interact with everybody else in the chat, all that good stuff. And we'll discuss it. We'll talk about it because we got a big one on our hands, granddaddy of them all. We got the Rose Bowl coming up, Chase. We're only about a couple days out, man. Again, 3 p.m. kick on Thursday. So we will not be live on Thursday. Tomorrow will be our final show before the big game. So tomorrow we'll do it like a prediction Friday, except it'll be a prediction Wednesday type deal. And we'll give our final thoughts about the matchup and what we expect out of this game, which, Chase, I'm really thinking it's going to be a really good matchup, man. But I can't help but feel excited to see how we come out and play. Knowing how we played the final 3 quarters against Oklahoma, knowing how much healthier we are. Hell, we didn't even mention this yesterday. I forgot to. LT Overton's back. He's been cleared to return. I think that definitely could, you know, mean a great deal. Now, I'm not saying it definitely changes everything, but to have one of your better guys on defense, arguably one of the most complete players on the defense, right, in terms of his ability to stop the run, provide pressure on the quarterback, man, it's definitely a huge bonus to have him back, especially knowing that one of my keys for this game is to apply pressure on Mendoza. Why not feel good about getting one of your best pass rushers back in LT Overton? So we'll talk a little bit about that and more throughout the show. Plus, we've got plenty of media to catch up on. We still need to talk some more defense. We dove into a little bit of Ryan Grubb's interview yesterday. Actually, we listened to the whole thing. We watched a little bit of tape on Indiana's defense. Yes, we watched some Indiana defense yesterday. We'll probably pull up some Indiana offense since we will lean a little bit more into the defense. Today we'll hear from Kane Womack. It is a longer interview, so maybe we'll kind of jump around through that, just get some of the main initial points with that interview. Plus, there's plenty of player interviews, so we'll pick a couple of those guys and see exactly what those guys have to say. But from everything that I've been hearing, everybody I've talked to, Chase, they're excited for this matchup, not just because you got about, what, 15 players or so from California, but because I think this team has some new life, some new energy, man. What went from, you know, being a rough final couple weeks of the season, again, one terrible. You had one loss to Oklahoma, but still weren't playing our best ball. Definitely probably hit a low during that stretch when we went to Georgia, excuse me, went to Atlanta, faced Georgia in the SEC championship game. Since then, it seems like the health of this team has improved. The morale's back. I mean, that's kind of what you expect, right? We always coin this, Chase, a new season, right? Anytime you get into to playoff football, you get into, you know, with us, it was a 14 playoff, now 12 team, but still it's a new season, right? What you did earlier in the year doesn't mean anything at this point. I mean, even on the other side, Indiana being undefeated doesn't really mean anything at this point. It's about what you do on a not necessarily week-to-week basis because games are a little spread out, but it's about what you do every time you step on that field. And I think these guys understand that. I think they feel better than ever. And I'm excited to see how they show up. So we'll keep talking about what we expect from these guys. But first, we got to hit a timeout on the Miller's Edge right here. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art and sport experts. Don't go anywhere. Get your blankets, your heaters, whatever you need to stay warm. But make sure you stay locked and loaded because we're just getting started right here on the Miller's Edge.
Offer ends January 15th. Get Babbel's lifetime access for less at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny but cold afternoon, the high today 41. Clear tonight with the low at 25. Tomorrow and Thursday, the weather stays dry. Lots of sunshine both days with a warming trend. The high tomorrow 51, the high Thursday 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 33 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. All right, Chase, we talked a little bit about the weather in the first segment, and I thought we were going to leave that to James Spann, but Money had a good point here in the chat about the weather out in the Rose Bowl, right? Because that's probably going to be something to pay attention to, at least from what I've seen. Chase, allegedly, it's supposed to be a pretty rainy day, good chance of rain, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but just to kind of answer Money's question, is there any concern on my behalf? I don't know if I would necessarily say it's concern, but I think it's definitely something to pay attention to. We all know that weather can affect football games, depending on the type of weather, right? You watch the NFL, and there's a lot of snowy games, right? You see how that can have an effect on things. Rainy, you know, weather, right? Wet footballs typically can increase the chances of turnovers. Sometimes limits teams through the air. You got to lean a little bit more in your running game. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good question. Is it something to consider? Absolutely. We'll just have to see what exactly ends up taking place. Now, I'm reading this online right here. And again, I'm no James Spann, but it looks like by kickoff, which again is 3 p.m. Central Time, make sure you guys check out all the coverage. I do some pregame stuff with the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Make sure you tune in. You can listen to it wherever you listen to the network. Definitely can listen to it on Tide 100.9, by the way. But, says most likely the widespread heavy rain will be gone before kickoff, but They definitely do recommend being prepared for scattered showers and occasional light rain, and the temperatures will fall from 60 to 58 during the game, so not a huge drop there. But the good news is, for anybody that was wondering about the weather for this matchup, it looks like it's more so going to be, I guess, finished up the heavy rain, so to speak, before the game. Still could be, you know, wet field conditions, all that stuff. But in terms of, like, worrying about a big downpour, kind of like that monsoon we saw against USF, and we all know how that game how that game looked, all these guys slipping around. I get it, totally different game, different location, but you get the point. Shouldn't necessarily be anything like that. Maybe some light showers, but it's not looking like it's going to be this big monsoon that I think initially people were concerned about. That said, I mean, are there still concerns, you know, wet field conditions, stuff like that? Yeah. Best thing I would say is make sure, you know, Springer and the guys over with the equipment staff, make sure they packed all the proper equipment, which, again, this is the University of Alabama. You guys shouldn't have to worry about that, man. These guys should be on top of all that. But believe it or not, there is, you know, certain cleats that are recommended for these conditions. I know, like, in the NFL, the Panthers, like, we always had, you know, separate cleats for raining conditions. And, you know, if it looked like it was going to rain, our equipment team literally swapped our cleats that they had. Like, we had issued cleats for that. So I'm sure that they're taking all those measures. But if it is one of those situations, I mean, I said it yesterday, I'll be honest with you, it probably leans a little bit more in Indiana's favor, knowing that they have a more consistent running game. That said, I don't see it necessarily being a huge effect. I don't think it should be that bad, but who knows, man. I think we'll be just fine, but definitely something to look out for, because, you know, we rely on our passing game. It's one of the better passing games in the country when it's clicking. And when you have the weather to battle against, that's never fun for a team that doesn't really run the ball great. So we'll just have to keep an eye out on that. In terms of starting with some defensive stuff, I know I got some tape pulled up, but I want to hear from Kane Womack first, especially for our radio listeners. But again, all you guys listening via radio, keep doing your thing. But if you ever do want to watch us do the show and you can see the tape, the things that we discuss at times, just check us out at the Miller's Edge, completely free. We just ask you, hit that like button on your way in, and subscribe if you enjoy the content, which I'm sure you will. If you're a fan of Alabama or just football in general, like learning about the game, I promise you will not be disappointed, man. You're always going to learn something when we got the tape pulled up. I can guarantee that. That said, let's hear a little bit from our defensive coordinator. I'm excited to see this game plan that they come up with. Hey, we got a good task ahead. We're facing the Heisman Trophy winner in Fernando Mendoza, who's a really good football player, really accurate guy, bigger, taller quarterback, a little bit of a running ability, not I would never consider a guy like this a dual threat, but he can make plays with his legs when it's needed to extend some plays, you know, rolling out of the pocket, things like that. That said, he doesn't make very many mistakes. Really smart guy. Makes all the throws that you need to make. You know, he puts it in good positions for his receivers to make plays. And listen, they're just very fundamentally sound. We talked about that yesterday. This team doesn't make very many mistakes. When you watch them on film, which we'll do here in a minute, you'll see. I mean, they execute well, all the little fundamental details. They do a good job with. They're very balanced, have the ability to run the football. We just talked about their quarterback. He has no problem making the throws that you need him to make. And they've got some pretty decent skill guys. I mean, I would say pound for pound, if you just go off of the athletes. I mean, look, we have a team probably with better athletes. But when you're going against a team like Indiana, and they make up for that with good fundamentals and solid technique, a good scheme that puts them in good positions, and they execute at a high level, kind of helps even the playing field, which is what makes this team a really good football team. That said, let's hear from the defensive coordinator, Kane Womack, get a little bit of insight from him on how he goes about defending this Indiana offense, who is one of the better offenses in the country. I think they're averaging, again, I understand their schedule, right? But one's like 40 or so points a game, 220 on the ground, 250 through the air. So definitely a good challenge on his hands. But he's actually been one of the bright spots this season. Him and his defensive staff has done a really nice job being consistent, fixing some of the things that they struggled with early on in the year, and just really overall playing some good football. So let's hear from the defensive coordinator, Kane Womack.
Had really two good weeks here in preparation, or in the second week of preparation, coming off the first round of the playoffs. It's been great for our guys. I think we've been in a position where we've probably been as healthy as we have been in a number of weeks. You got some of the early enrollees out here, so that's always nice with these new freshmen coming in here. Kind of like Christmas morning, right, for a coach, right, to get to play with all the new toys you recruited, and those guys have got a great demeanor and bringing some energy out there to practice. And our older guys are doing a great job of, you know, continuing to build the legacy of how we do things and play in the standard of Alabama's defense. You know, I think obviously we got a great opponent in Indiana coming up. You know, I had some really great times there and had some special moments and some great memories of my time in Bloomington. You know, Kalen and I met each other there and coached together as coordinators. And so some really great memories in that position. I think the world of Coach Cignetti and his staff, they've done a really tremendous job. Their administration has done a phenomenal job. Scott Dolson, their athletic director, of just everybody pulling the rope in the same direction. And it's awesome to see what they have done with their program in 2 years. offensively, I think they are highly efficient, very explosive. That starts with their quarterback. He knows where to go with the ball. He's very decisive, makes great decisions with the ball, and can make all the throws and can make the explosive plays when it matters most. They're very disciplined, very detailed, probably as disciplined and as detailed as an offense as we have faced. I think their physicality shows up on tape. They play the game physical from an offensive line standpoint. Their tight ends and blocking, their run game. I think they do a great job of, you know, if you'll give them 4 yards in a cloud of dust, they'll take it all day long. And they've got great RPO answers matched off of their run game as well. But I think the thing that stands out probably as much as anything is they make plays when it matters most. And they have made the plays to put them in position to be undefeated to this point in the season. So it's a great challenge, one that we are very much looking forward to. Awesome and honored to be playing and representing this football team in the Rose Bowl. Certainly more work ahead, but excited for the task at hand.
All right, thank you, Coach. Let's start with Charlie on the far right side.
Yeah, Coach, you talked about being healthy, and we saw LT back on the field today too. Just how big of a boost is that going into a game against the current offense?
Yeah, I think that's an awesome blessing. Just for LT, it's awesome for us, for him. And, you know, he obviously needs to have another good couple of days here, but is certainly on track. And to have him in this game, his experience, certainly his excitement of wanting to get back out on the field and go compete with his teammates. I mean, he's an ultimate competitor. He's done a really good job of staying in shape, which was one of the things that we wanted to make sure that if the opportunity was to come back, that he would be in great shape, and he looks great right now. So very excited for him, very excited for us. And when you have a difference maker like that off the edge, you know, it certainly changes your defense.
Let's go to Chase on the front left.
I want to ask you about your dad's presence on the sideline this season. Just what has he brought to you in terms of being a center?
This is a game you truly cannot miss. It's the biggest game of the year, and we're now just 30.
South Carolina on the road, and as soon as the game is over, by the time I get on the bus, he's got his notes on 8 games, 10 games, whatever it is of the next opponent. And so it just allows me to one step ahead with somebody that knows me, knows this defense, understands the bigger picture, and it really just kind of clarifies and crystallizes what I'm thinking about from a game plan standpoint from 1 week to the next. And then he watches every practice. You know, he's got his iPad there in Oxford, Mississippi, and, you know, he'll have thoughts and notes and stuff from what we're doing in practice. And so usually when you have somebody like that, it crystallizes the mission, right? It keeps the main thing, and it never keeps us too far off that North Star objective on defense in general. And we have those elements to what we do. But there has been a recipe of how we operate and what we do defensively. And so execution has been really the critical component of what we do. And really, against these guys, right, that comes at a premium. They are very disciplined. They are deep. We've got to be, we got to beat them at their own game in terms of what they're doing fundamentally. So execution comes at a premium. Playing the great fundamentals comes at a premium. We certainly will have answers, just like we did in the Oklahoma game. We had to make some real adjustments, but ultimately we have to do what we do well that's got us to this point, and then be ready to answer and adjust based off of what we're getting in the game.
Let's go to Joe in the middle of the room.
Coach Indiana only has eight turnovers this season. What do they do so well to protect the football, and what do you see opportunities for your defense in this game to create takeaways?
Yeah, there's always opportunities to create takeaways. Good, nice job on that. I saw you very proud of yourself for some takeaways. I think when you look at them, they're very disciplined. They're very detailed. It's the reason why they're one of the top teams in the country in turnover margin. It's the reason why they're one of the top teams in the country in penalties. We're as good as anybody in the country at attempting to take the ball off of people. It doesn't mean that we always get it, but we are going to attempt to take it off. And so, you know, it will be a great challenge for us, but we will also be a great challenge for them. And one that, you know, I think really when you start looking at the markers of the game, the turnover margin will be a huge indicator to who wins that game. And I know you can point to that in a lot of different scenarios, but explosive plays and turnover margin, I think, will define the outcome of this football game.
We've got a couple more from the left side. Let's go to Hunter first, and we'll go to Will.
Hey, Coach, when Zevian Brown arrived on campus and you saw him practice for the first time, was there an expectation level that he could become
phenomenal players that have come through these halls, but what, you know, some pretty special moments that he's already created for this football team.
All right, Will, next, on the far left.
Coach, there's a good amount of talk around Indiana that surrounds Fernando Mendoza and what he's able to do, but he's not the only player on that offense that's good. Who else has stood out to you as you prepare for this game?
Well, as there should be. I mean, there's a reason why he won the Heisman Trophy. He is a fantastic player. The offense goes with him, right? He's the leader of that offense, and he's the reason why they're able to do the things that they do and be efficient. But they have on the flip side, they have a very good run game. They have a very good detailed RPO scheme and answers in their run game. And so they'll do a great job of they can bleed you down the field if you'll allow them to do that. And so we got to do a great job of playing with vision and rallying to the ball and driving on those short throws so that we don't allow them to create more things down the field. But when you look at them, they're receivers, they block, they compete their tail off for the ball when it's in the air. That you can tell they've got great chemistry between their quarterback and he puts the ball out there and he does a great job of putting the ball out. But, you know, some of those plays, those receivers just went and got it. Now, he gave them a chance to do it, but they got to finish and come down with the ball. So he's got super competitive receiving core, including their tight end. But they have a very trusted run game that has showed up for them just about in every single game. They haven't blown the doors off in every single game rushing the football, but they're very efficient in what they do, and they stay on schedule because of it.
All right, so we'll stop there because it's a long interview, and I feel like we got a lot of good information from. We'll piggyback up on it here in a minute if we get a chance. But we need to stay on the schedule, so we're going to hit a quick timeout. We'll respond to what we heard from defensive coordinator Kane Womack in a minute. And he spoke about this Indiana offense, talked about Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Fernando Mendoza, and some things that they've been looking to do defensively. So we'll discuss all that here in a moment when we come back after this quick timeout. As are looking for a place to go watch the game this Thursday, look no further than R&R Cigars. Not only do they offer the best cigars in the Southeast with the best humidor there, they also offer great entertainment. If you want to go watch the game, go hang out with some folks, enjoy some nice drinks. They got over 160 bourbon, just over 160, and that includes the new Yay Alabama drinks as well if you want to go try those. But they've got a number of drinks that you can try. Drink responsibly, but enjoy a drink, enjoy a nice cigar, and enjoy some Alabama football. Not only football, but basketball, baseball. They support all the programs here. So if you're looking for a spot like that, man, look no further. R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street here in Tuscaloosa. And they always offer those same deals, maybe not the alcohol, but the cigars on the website, rnrcigars.com. Code Miller's Edge should get you a good discount as well. So make sure you guys check that out. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. Quick timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling right here. Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149.
393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are back. I think
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide, based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9600. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
California, here we come.
The Crimson Tide, the Indiana Hoosiers, New Year's Day, the Rose Bowl.
To play top-seeded Indiana.
The road to the national title continues. Live from Pasadena, California, our coverage begins at noon on your home for Alabama football, the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHsystem.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Chase, that might be a new song we use. I like that. That kind of had that like Jersey, what's it called? Jersey song. Anyway, I don't know. Sounded like one of those beats. How smooth, though. Anyway, welcome back into this Talking Tuesday. We just got done listening to Kane Womack talk a little bit about this matchup, his defense, and whatnot. And I'll say this, Chase, one thing that stood out to me, he talked about going into this game, having several plans. I agree with him. That was something that I felt like we were missing last year that they've done much more of this year. And I think it's paid dividends, right? He talked about the Oklahoma game. You know, they went into it with one plan, wanting to do one thing. What was that plan? Well, I can tell you guys, just watching the tape, they played a lot of zone. And what was that zone, right? It was, you know, a cover two type deal where they're using a safety as a middle field runner, where it almost is like an invert two on one side, because normally in cover two, you got, you know, two safeties as half players, corners as, you know, flat players. But the way we're doing it, I think it's like a field boundary type deal. But we're using one of the safeties that typically is a half player as the middle field runner, because, again, the middle part of the field is the weak spot. So you always have a middle field runner. Typically, it's more of like a linebacker doing it. But we were using our safety as that spot in Keon Sab, then having our corner be the other half player. And then we were using our Husky as a flat player. So basically kind of like an invert two on one side, regular two on the other. That said, we were running a bunch of that early on, a lot of zone coverage. And Oklahoma was doing a nice job kind of picking it apart. And I think they studied some tape. I think they anticipated a lot of that. And that's why you know, if you, anybody knows how offenses work, man, you always like first drive or first series, everything's pretty much scripted. These, I mean, that's what they take all that time preparing and stuff for. They always want to start as, you know, hot and as, you know, as fast as they can. And I thought they had a great game plan. But what I really thought was, you know, even better was the fact that we also had a game plan in terms of adjusting. And we started playing much more man coverage, brought more pressure, and, you know, you saw the effect that it had. So hearing them talk about that, carrying that over into this next football game, I think it shows, Chase, like the growth from this unit, this staff. Because if you go back to last year, I'm just going to be honest with you, I thought we were too vanilla on defense, very predictable. It was almost like we just, you know, it was either earlier we just ran a whole bunch of this cover three and didn't disguise it a whole bunch. I mean, we were sitting in single high. You know, we didn't really show a whole bunch of two high looks. We felt like we just showed a lot of single high to straight cover three, almost like country cover three coverage, not many, you know, match principles. And then we started playing a whole bunch of man coverage. And again, it just, we were showing it pre-snap. It was pretty evident we're in man coverage and we were just playing it over and over. This year, the evolution of the disguising pre-snap, and you're seeing that actually, you know, have benefits. I mean, the Xavier Brown interception against Oklahoma, that was, I mean, great disguise, number one, showing that it was cover zero. You know, then nice by Xavier Brown. They got what they wanted out of the quarterback. Quarterback completely thought, okay, cover zero pre-snap. The receiver, I'm sure, read it as he converted the route. The quarterback didn't. The quarterback just thought they're hitting a quick out, but he converted. Miscommunication on their end turned into a pick six for Xavier Brown and us. Huge deal in that football game. What I'm getting at is, I say all that to say, I feel like we weren't seeing those types of things last season that we're seeing now. So shout out to Kane Womack and maybe his dad a little bit. He just talked about his dad. Maybe his dad has a little bit of influence on that. But I think that's smart going into this game. He talked about the RPO system that Indiana runs. It is an RPO system. You don't worry too much about Mendoza necessarily running, but it still is something, you know, RPOs isn't just about, you know, quarterback running, or really it's more so, hey, they can either run the football, they can hand it off, or they can hit you in the passing game. And that's always tough for a defender, right? Because you're reading your keys, you're a linebacker, you're reading the guards up front, all your keys are telling you, hey, we got to run, we're getting run action, but then they're hitting a slant or hitting windows behind you. So will be important not only to have a game plan to adjust, because again, you know, you always want to have that, but two, for our guys, say for whatever reason we get into this matchup and what we come into it with initially isn't necessarily having the success that we need, it's going to be important that we have that ability, which we showed as recent as last game against Oklahoma. So definitely really good progress out of our defense is the best way to put that, Chase. Then you also mentioned LT Overton coming back. Excited to see what he can do. Plus, I'm excited. You know, we hadn't really talked about this, Chase, but Yanze Pierre, we know he's come along. Second half of the season, we said, hey, we need somebody to step up. I said way back when, I said Yanze Pierre needs to be a guy on this defense, you know, to produce. We need his pass rush ability. Sure enough, he answered the call. Well, now I want to turn my attention back to Chase, number four, right? Quay Rousseau, a guy who was coming along before he got injured, and even before Yanze really came on. And he was looking good, Chase. Unfortunately, he ended up going down lower extremity injury. But now he's back. And when he came back against Auburn and saw him a little bit, you know, Georgia, Oklahoma, I still don't think he's been healthy. Well, he's had even more time now to get healthier. I'm excited to see what maybe he comes out and can do. Because, again, I'm telling you guys, I think the key to this game defensively, stop the run, pressure Mendoza and win the turnover battle. Come up with some turnovers, get the ball back to the offense, stop these guys. I think, and again, I know that's kind of typical keys for a defense, but to me, as efficient, as disciplined as this offense is, man, I mean, you got to find ways to make them as uncomfortable as possible and force them to make mistakes, because they're not naturally going to make those mistakes. You got to force these issues. That's why they call them takeaways, or at least that's why they prefer the term takeaway over turnover. So I think it's going to be huge, which both these teams do a great job of both, right? I mean, Indiana, I think, has forced 25 turnovers. Only, I think, had eight turnovers on offense. And we're very similar. I think we forced 20 turnovers, and our offense is in a similar ballpark range in terms of how many turnovers we've lost. So very similar in that aspect. But I do think that also is a big key. But defensively, man, you got to get pressure on the quarterback. And I'm excited to see what that looks like. Another guy's coming along too, right? I mean, Keon Keeley, man, it's funny. I mean, if you really break down the tape, you'll see, man, you can tell he's still kind of getting his feet wet. There's to the lot of the good that we've seen where he ends up making some plays. I'm not gonna lie. We got to get him to, you know, limit the mental errors that we've seen. But, hey, he's coming along. And somehow he finds himself making plays when he's on the field. So I think those guys need to step up tremendously. And I'm excited that LT will be back in that group as well. Let's do this, Chase. Let's hit a timeout and stay on schedule. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. We got Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson at the top of the hour. We'll keep breaking down this Rose Bowl matchup between Alabama, Indiana. Again, New Year's Day, 3 p.m. Central Time. We talked about the weather. Shouldn't be as, I guess, wet as we initially thought it might be. So that's, I guess, you know, good news for our offense. But I will say this, Chase. We're going to be starting the New Year with the outcome of this game. So hopefully we can start 2026 off on the right foot with the Alabama dub and heading to the next round of the college football playoffs. But we'll be where our feet are. We'll keep talking about this matchup and more right here on the Miller's Edge when we come back. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Our coverage is brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. For all your sporting good needs, for all your team gear needs, check out academy.com or visit one of their many locations all across the Southeast.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
As one grand prize winner scores $2,600 in cash, join the celebration and toast to new beginnings and big wins at Pearl River Resort. Must be 21 or older to play.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
And don't forget their famous catch all batter. Bring that catfish heaven flavor home. Pick up a bag in local stores. Catfish Heaven, where every bite gets its halo.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9600. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny but cold afternoon, the high today 41. Clear tonight with the low at 25. Tomorrow and Thursday, the weather stays dry. Lots of sunshine both days with a warming trend. The high tomorrow 51, the high Thursday 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 36 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Talking Tuesday, this is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Expert. Speaking of talking, man, I feel like I've been doing a bunch of talking, but don't worry, we'll be talking with Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson here in about 7 minutes or so, just shy of it. So we'll look forward to doing that. Love getting Clint's, you know, perspectives, man, especially when it comes to, I mean, listen, you know, you guys know me, man. I'm a tape junkie. I love watching tape. I break the game down from that perspective. I mean, trust me, I do my due diligence there. But in terms of going deep in the trenches of numbers and stats and all these things, man, Clint is, you know, one of the best when it comes to that, and I always enjoy getting his perspective, because not only does he does his homework there, but he also watches a lot of tape and has a good understanding of the game, man. So I really respect that about him. So we'll get his perspective on this matchup between Alabama and Indiana here in about just under 6 minutes or so. But Chase, we got a few more clips or interviews that we need to get to. I want to get to a player interview if we can real quick, because I know we've got about 3 or 4 minutes before this goes. I don't know if we'll have enough time, but I wanted to hear from at least one of the guys while we had a few minutes. I do know Damani Jackson spoke to the media yesterday and Quavis did. I feel like since we've been talking about defense, we should probably stay, I guess, on that route. So let's see, man. We got Keon Sab. We got Xavien Brown. Oh, man. Let's go with Xavien Brown. He's a California guy. He's been playing some damn good football recently. His is about 4 minutes or so we got just enough time to squeeze it in here real quick. So we'll do that. We'll hear from Alabama cornerback Xavien Brown ahead of this matchup against Indiana, who will be in California since he's come to Alabama. Long way for him, but now he's got the luxury of having all his people at the game. This is what he had to say a day or so ago when speaking to the media.
You talked about it after the Oklahoma game. Just how successful were you in getting a lot of tickets for this game out in Cali?
I don't know. Not so successful as I would like, but I got some half good room.
Let's go to Joe in the middle of the room.
Xavien, Indiana has only 8 turnovers this season. Your guy who's had a lot of key takeaways for Alabama this season. What do you see in their offense's ability to take care of the football? And what do you think about your opportunities to take away the football?
Yeah, you know, facing an opponent that does a great job taking care of the ball really just puts kind of more stress on us reading our keys and trusting being able to pull the trigger and make plays on, you know, just that small margin of pop up.
Go to Will on the left side.
A lot of hype around Fernando Mendoza winning the Heisman and everything else that he's done this year in their offense. He's a guy that can make a lot of different throws, put the ball in a lot of places. What's the challenge of facing a quarterback that can do things like he does?
Heisman winner, definitely best quarterback we faced all year. You put the ball anywhere on the field, and it just puts stress on us, you know, if you're playing our game, getting pressure on him. Playing the complimentary, you know, with our front and back end, and just trusting we've seen the film on.
Let's jump over to the front right, Blake.
What have Jordan Edmonds and Zion Gibson kind of shown you, and what have they been like in the first couple of days in your room as early enrollees?
Shit, they're focused, they're locked in. You know, I think they move around real well, especially for just getting here, but I think they've been looking real good out there.
Go to Hunter on the back left.
Hey, Xavien, Coach Wong said when you were a freshman that you were as pro ready as he's ever seen. What are your thoughts on him giving you your flowers part in the punt?
You know, it's a blessing that he put me in this position. You know, I'm grateful for it. Just seizing my opportunities and taking advantage when they come.
Let's go all the way in the back of the room to Trevor.
Xavien, it can be easy to move across the country for college. So what does it mean to you to get that opportunity to play in front of more family and friends, get to play close to home?
Yeah, it really means the world to me, honestly. You know, it's a countless people who got to see me play in person in, you know, 2 or 3 years. So going back home to the Rose Bowl, gets the eyes in, it can't get any better than this.
You have questions from the building? You're good? Okay, let's go back right to Johnny.
Coach DeVore said a week or two ago that you have a good ability to take calculated risks when it comes to trying to jumping routes. I'm interested in that split second. How difficult it is to make the decision of whether you want to play back or try to go for the ball?
It's a gut feeling, you know, kind of get maybe a little spidey sense or something like that, but really just trust being able to pull the trigger. I don't know. That's it.
Any other questions for Xavier? Let's follow up with Charlie.
Just sticking with the California theme, how much are your quarterback room, all of you guys being from out there, or looking forward to being out there, how much are you guys talking about that?
I was just talking to Damani the other day, just kind of how, like, it's kind of similar for us not really understanding, like, what it's like for guys from Bama to, you know, play games, like, against Auburn, Iron Bowl, and stuff like that. We got to get used to those type of things. Like, for us, it's like, it's kind of opposite. Like, they might not know exactly what this means for us to go back and play at home in the road and stuff like that.
So there you go. That was short and sweet, but that was Alabama cornerback Xavier Brown speaking to the media about this match. A lot of questions about him traveling back home. Again, really cool for those guys. A number of California kids on this roster, so they get to play in the Rose Bowl. I didn't think of it like that. Not only are they going back to Cali, but playing in the Rose Bowl, which is a huge deal for somebody, especially being out there. I mean, we know the significance of the game, even in Alabama, but only could imagine being from California definitely makes a lot of sense. So shout out to him, man, playing some really good football, and talk about him being one of the most kind of, you know, pro-ready type guys, or just, you know, mature for his age. I remember when he first got there and when I was seeing him at practice, everybody was saying the same thing. I mean, this guy is, for a freshman, he's, you know, following in the footsteps of guys like the Minkas of the world, right? The guys that I remember when Minka was still in high school, he was just at like a spring practice and he's over there talking about the defense with Coach Saban, and they're like, I mean, I was impressed with him too. It's first day in 7-on-7. You could just tell Minka was going to be that dude. And this kid, I shouldn't call him a kid, excuse me, Xavier Brown. This guy reminds me a lot of that type of pedigree of a football player. But we got to hit the top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson talking about this Rose Bowl matchup. So make sure you guys stay locked and loaded. We're not going anywhere. We're just hitting a quick top of the hour break right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, Clint Lamb will come back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
It's halftime in the NBA's late game in L.A. The Clippers, with a record of 7-21, are leading Houston 63-58. Houston will face the Lakers on Christmas. Lakers were pounded at Phoenix, 132-108 Suns. L.A. star Luka Doncic was out with a bruised calf. San Antonio won its seventh straight game, defeating Oklahoma City 130-110, despite 33 points from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Dallas got a win, edging Denver 131-130. Cooper Flagg, 33 points and 31 for Anthony Davis. Minnesota's Anthony Edwards scored 38 points in a home victory over New York, 115-104. Wins for Milwaukee and Cleveland. College basketball victories for St. John's and Villanova. College football bowl wins for Western Kentucky and Louisville. Ohio U up 17-3 over UNLV. That's 10 minutes to go at the Frisco Bowl.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at
at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts, where we're breaking down this Rose Bowl matchup. Alabama taking on number one seed Indiana out in California, granddaddy of them all. Just got done listening to a Xavier Brown press conference, but now we go to the phone lines where we're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, who joins us every Tuesday here on the Miller's Edge. Clint, how was your Christmas, man? Hope everything's been good with you.
My Christmas was great, Christian. Fantastic getting to spend some time with the family. I hope you were able to as well. Now I'm looking forward to Alabama getting back on the field and facing a very good opponent in Indiana.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Now, I've been watching a little bit of this tape on the stream today. We watched a little bit more of the defensive side of things for Indiana today. We're watching a little bit more of their offense. But just overall, Clint, I know you watch a lot of tape yourself. I know you've been breaking this game down. We've had, I guess, what, almost 2 weeks now to kind of look into this matchup. A lot of noise nationally, not necessarily giving Alabama a whole bunch of love in this matchup. And listen, I understand Indiana's a really good football team. Alabama hadn't been playing great until the last three quarters of the Oklahoma game, which they actually returned to form, especially offensively. But overall, Clint, when you look at this matchup between Indiana, led by Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Fernando Mendoza, Cignetti, you know, really fundamental team, against this Alabama football team who looks healthy, recharged a little bit, I guess, you know, rejuvenated, so to speak. How do you view it from a surface level?
I think, like you said, I think Indiana's a good football team. I think they're balanced on both sides of the football. When you kind of start to break it down, they stop the run on defense, they can apply pressure on quarterbacks. They're good at generating turnovers. They're pretty good on the back end. You look at their offense, they're able to run the football with a number of different guys. They're able to throw the football around. Got a couple of, you know, potential day two draft picks at wide receiver. They got a guy who's probably going to go on day two at left tackle. Their starting center is really good. You obviously got the reigning Heisman Trophy winner and Fernando Mendoza that's kind of leading everything, projected to be a, you know, probably the number one overall pick in the 2026 NFL draft. And they just, you know, what I think Kurt Cignetti has done, just getting, because yes, they do have a lot of talent, but I think a lot of that has been development. And I also think from an elevating the lesser than talent around a lot of those guys, I think he's done a fantastic job of not only putting them in a position to be successful, but also creating discipline, creating trust. You know, they play complementary football in a lot of cases. I just think that they're fun to watch, if I'm speaking candidly. With all that being said, I still think Alabama's got a real shot in this football game. If you look at certain places, I think that, you know, they can, on the right side with Khalil Benson, their starting right tackle, I think he's a pretty good player. Probably, you know, wouldn't be shocked at all if he ends up getting drafted, but I think he's a little bit more vulnerable than Carter Smith on the left side. So I think Alabama has an avenue to generate pretty consistent pressure on Fernando Mendoza if you can earn the right to do it. But I think it all is going to come down for them as far as defensively. Can you stop their run game? Because what they want to do is lean on that run game on early downs. They will throw in some play action stuff, but they really want to run the football and then put themselves in favorable second and third down. And if they're able to do that consistently against Alabama like they have been for a majority of the season, that's really going to put strain on Alabama defensively. But if they can have some success stopping the run, put them in some unfavorable situations, I do think that they can make Fernando Mendoza's life a little bit uncomfortable. He'll make some plays, no doubt about it, but maybe do enough to get to win this football game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I view it, especially from the defensive side of things, it sounds like a very basic, a cliche set of keys, but I think it's really simple in this matchup. You stop the run, you make Fernando Mendoza uncomfortable, you blitz him, you pressure him, you try to force some bad throws, get him off his spot, and then you find a way to win the turnover battle. I think that really it's as simple as that, which sounds easier said than done, but still I think defensively that those should be your keys. But Clint, talk to me a little bit about our offense, right? You said, you know, that listen, they have a good defense, you're right. I think they're second in the country in tackles for losses, getting after the quarterback. They come up with a lot of sacks. They do a nice job with a lot of different pressure packages. They disguise well. They're very fundamentally sound. Do you feel that Alabama, whose offense I would say in the last three quarters in that Oklahoma game, has the ability to continue that trend that we saw then and carry that over into this matchup, which is much needed? Because to me, I think a lot of this is going to boil down to, I mean, I just don't think you magically come up with the running game all of a sudden, but I think Ty Simpson and those receivers have to find that connection that they had against Oklahoma. Do you think they can reestablish that and recreate that against an Indiana football team who is really good across the board, whether stopping the run, getting after the quarterback, but also forcing turnovers, coming up with a total of 25, I believe?
I do think Alabama can have some success against them defensively. I really do. I understand on paper there's not a whole lot that's favoring Alabama. They typically like to bring five. You know, they're not really – they haven't really consistently applied pressure when only sending four. I mean, whether it be Hardy at off-ball linebacker, Aiden Fisher, they got a guy that rotates in quite a bit, Isaiah Jones. Between those three players, they have accumulated 56 pressures and 13 quarterback hits. And that kind of tells you everything you need to know about how often they are sending those second-level defenders and trying to add a fifth body as far as the pass rush, and they're effective at it. But, I mean, as you understand, you only got 11 bodies on the field. So the more you're bringing, you know, if you're running cover three behind it or cover two, those underneath defenders, when you're eliminating one of them or bringing one of them, you're taking somebody out of coverage. And just the way that Ty Simpson has been so effective against zone coverage when he has the understanding, and if he can get into a rhythm and kind of do some of the things that we saw him start to do again against Oklahoma, I do think that he can find the soft spots and Alabama's receivers can make some plays in order to help them move the football. And not only that, but I was thinking about this Alabama run game, and I'm not sitting there saying it's going to be a world beater all of a sudden. But, you know, I think especially in the second half, I really feel like Daniel Hill started to play like a 244-pound running back. I think he started running behind the shoulder pads a little bit more, showed a little bit more physicality. I think getting Jam Miller more healthy, he did handle seven carries, but it only went for 11 yards against Oklahoma. I think Daniel Hill, from a conditioning standpoint, I've kind of been concerned about him being like the lone guy out there because, you know, he hadn't played a ton of snaps. He's a bigger body guy. But I think getting Jam back to being closer to 100%, having Kevin Riley potentially available to handle those RB3 roles, I do think it's possible that not only do you get that physical style from Daniel Hill, but maybe you get more production from Jam Miller. I think the offensive line has really started to come together. You against Oklahoma, guys were available, and they were a lot closer to 100%, but the Cam Dewberries, the Parker Brailsfords, the Geno Vandermarks, there were still some lingering problems, and being 11, 12, 13 days later, hopefully that does enough to have Alabama's interior offensive line a lot closer to 100%. So when I look at this game, I mean, not only do I think Ty Simpson can have some success, but kind of one of my bold predictions, and it's one that a lot of people aren't going to agree with, and I'm certainly going to hear about it if I'm wrong, and I will own it if I'm wrong, but just for some reason, I think the way that Alabama has done, you know, really improved as far as stopping the run on defense, and the fact that I actually think this could be one of those games kind of like Missouri, where everybody said Alabama can't run the football themselves. Missouri's one of the best rushing offenses, not only in the SEC, but in all of college football with Ahmad Hardy. Alabama's running backs outproduced them in that football game. I know that Indiana has a much stronger complementary passing game with Fernando Mendoza, no doubt about it. But part of me just thinks that we're going to see something similar where, surprisingly, Alabama ends up outrushing Indiana and having more success. Once again, not being dominant, But I think it would more so be that Indiana isn't quite as effective as some people think they're going to be going against Alabama's defense. And then on top of that, Alabama being a little bit more effective, you know, moving the football on the ground, I do think they can have some success, whether it be through the air or on the ground. Not saying they're going to have their way with Indiana by any means. I just think that maybe we're underestimating this Alabama offense if you continue to get what you saw from them in the last three quarters against Oklahoma.
Wow. So you have them potentially out-rushing Indiana. That's interesting. How do you see that taking place, Clint? I mean, do you think just – because I know we run a lot of – pin and pull, and I said this a few weeks ago, and you've seen it time and time again. I mean, that's our best running play, you know, running on the perimeter. We've struggled running between the tackles, whether it's gap scheme, you know, counter, even duo, or inside zone. I feel like it hasn't been great for us. I mean, do you feel like those types of runs between the tackles also are going to be there, or do you think it's more of us leaning into the perimeter, or even the extensions? When you say you feel like we outrush them, how do you feel like that ends up transpiring?
Well, I do think perimeter is going to be a pretty key part of that. And granted, they got some dudes, man. I mean, you look at their nickel, Devin Boykin. I mean, that guy's a great run defender. And he gets after him. He's not super big, 5'10", about 195 pounds. D'Angelo Pons is built like a nickel at 5'9", about, I think, 173. Not really, you know, super big, but he plays bigger than his size would indicate. He's very competitive. He's very scrappy. But, you know, I look at, like, you know, Vanderbilt, from a numbers perspective, when Alabama played them, it really seemed like they had a much improved run defense. You know, Jam Miller ended up having 136 yards on 22 carries. Against Missouri the next week on the road in a hostile environment, 20 carries for 85 yards. You know, against Auburn, really think we finally started to see that version of Jam Miller a little bit again, 15 carries for 83 yards. So I think to an extent it's going to be Jam Miller being healthy, being able to contribute to that, being able to move Daniel Hill. It wasn't like he was seeing 20-plus carries. It's more of the number of snaps he was being asked to play. Obviously, in the one game against Georgia in the SEC Championship where Jam Miller wasn't available, he saw career-high snaps because they had A.K. Deere kind of rotating with him because they didn't have Kevin Riley available. So, you know, I'm looking at Daniel Hill moving, it being a 1A, 1B type of situation. Daniel Hill starting to figure some things out, starting to figure out, man, I'm 244 pounds. Maybe I should use this a little bit more. You know, putting his shoulders down and taking the fight to defenders. It's not that he wasn't doing that, you know, previous. I just think that something about that Oklahoma game, it really felt like something started to click for him. And so I think between Wilkin Formby at right guard and Michael Kerr at right tackle, the fact that you're getting other guys more healthy, it's been – you've had another couple of weeks to really get that unit gelled and healthy. I think that I'm not saying they're going to have a ton of success. I more so look at it and say when Alabama, something about the challenge, Kane Womack loves it. And he even answered when asked about going against Fernando Mendoza and being the, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner, does that add a chip? And he said, we want to stop any quarterback, but it certainly does because he loves the challenge of it. I love that answer. Because it feels like whenever the defense is presented with a challenge, he embraces it. He doesn't shy away from it. And he's excited. Doesn't mean he's always going to have success, but he's excited for the opportunity to get to go against, you know, that type of player or that type of team. And when I think back to that Missouri game and the fact that everybody just thought that Missouri was going to run all over Alabama and Alabama came out fired up. They had a lot of success, a great game plan for attacking Ahmad Hardy. Now, granted, they're a little bit more heavy outside zone, wide zone, compared to Indiana, who's going to be a very zone-heavy team. But they also are going to be more inside zone, so it's going to be a little bit more between the tackles. But between getting LT Overton back, Tim Keenan, obviously the way he's been playing, James Smith can be a game wrecker. The second level, I think, from a run fit standpoint, they've made improvement. I just think that they're going to be able to have more success against Indiana's run game than a lot of people think that they will. And if they're able to do that and limit the chunk gains, which has been by far the biggest Achilles heel as far as the run defense, then, you know, it's not that the offense has to be world beaters as far as running the football. It's just a matter of kind of similar to that Missouri game, figuring out a way to end up having just slightly more production. I don't think we're going to exit this game saying, man, Alabama's run game was incredible and Indiana's was awful. I just think it might be a little bit more balanced and even than a lot of people are thinking going in. Now, granted, I understand that's very against the grain thinking right now going in. So I understand it's a very bold take, and it's one of those where I'm certainly going to hear it again if I'm wrong. But like with anything else, if I am wrong, I'll own it because, you know, if you're going to put your name to something, definitely always own it.
Absolutely. No, no, I hear what you're saying, though. And to be fair, you mentioned this. The guys coming back from injuries or even just the guys that were banged up that might not necessarily been on injury reports that you might not have, you know what I mean, known they're dealing with some stuff. They've had ample amount of time to get healthier. And I would imagine these guys feel better than ever. You combine that with, like you mentioned, the challenge ahead. I do expect us to come out swinging and to probably play better than we've, you know, seen us play in the past several weeks or so. And I hope that that is the case. We're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, who joins us every Tuesday. Make sure you guys check out all his good work if you haven't already, at Clint R. Lamb on X, at Cover Crimson on YouTube and on their social media platforms as well. Clint, if you had to summarize your keys to this game, what Alabama has to do, if there was maybe three or four things, I know you hit on all of it, but if you had to just throw out three or four main points for our listeners that might just be tuning in, what Alabama has to do to beat Indiana, the number one seed, to advance in the college football playoffs, what would those three or four keys be?
Well, I don't think that you have to say run the football on offense. Now, granted, if the weather limits the passing game, then you got to figure out how to have some production on offense. So maybe it becomes a much bigger key. But I think the weather is going to be, you know, there might be some spurts where it gets rocky, but I don't think it's going to be a consistent thing. So I think that both offenses are going to have their opportunities to kind of operate as they normally would. But as far as stopping the run, I think you have to do it. I think the more that you can put Fernando Mendoza in uncomfortable situations, the better off you're going to be. Now, granted, when you go into the other side of the football, as far as running it or trying to have any sort of offensive success, one of the things I'll give Indiana a lot of credit for is, man, they know how to, work their way around blocks. You know, their off-ball linebacker, Aiden Fisher, who I think is probably going to end up being like a fourth-round pick or maybe a third-round pick, I like his game. He is able to elude blocks as well as anybody I've seen on tape. He's not really this huge, big stack and shed guy. If you can get your hands on him, you know, I still think he's a good player, but I think his ability to avoid blocks and things like that has really made him an effective player. Alabama, on the other hand, especially with their offensive line, their tight ends, they've had an inability to sustain blocks. So across the board, it's not just Aiden Fisher. Really, it's their front seven that's been pretty good at it. You've got to figure out a way to get your hands on these guys and then maintain or hang on to your block as long as you can. I think if they can do that, they can, you know, certainly have some success. But I think, you know, anytime that it comes down to the special teams battle, the turnover battle, you always want to win those things. Alabama has been Indiana has been very clean as far as turning the football over, but they will, every once in a while, they'll give you an opportunity. Force them to give you one if you can. Capitalize if you get those opportunities and try if you can, because Indiana has spent such a large amount of time off, close to a month. I think that there could be some rust there. Now, it's not going to be a four quarters thing. It might be the first quarter, you know, might be first couple of quarters. But if you can, being the more polished team going in as far as more recently played, if you can jump out on Indiana and really put them, because I'll go ahead and tell you, whether you're talking about Iowa or Oregon or Penn State or Ohio State, like all these games where maybe they've struggled, I have not seen Indiana down by more than 3 or 4 points at any point this season. Now, I might be wrong on that as far as one of these blowouts. Maybe the team got up on them early. But as far as the games that have been close that I've paid attention to, I haven't seen it. And so if you can somehow use the advantage that you have played more recently, might not have that rust to jump out and maybe sort of create some sort of early lead, I mean, maybe Indiana doesn't respond all that great to that. So it's these kind of things that I'm thinking about. But these, I can see this going in a number of different directions. There's going to be a lot of factors. But for anybody that's really not giving Alabama much of a chance, I completely disagree. Doesn't mean they'll win, but I think it's going to be a really fun game, and I'm certainly looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think it's going to be one of those close games. I thought 6.5, 7 points sounded a little too much, given that when this Alabama team is clicking, which I understand – that's been, you know, a little rare over the last month and a half or so, at least offensively. Man, I mean, I feel like we can play with anybody, and I feel like we're capable of really winning it all. The problem is, how do we find a way to do that consistently, and how do we know that's the version of Alabama that we see, you know, show up in the Rose Bowl against Indiana? So I do understand that piece, but I do feel confident, like you just said. I mean, if Alabama plays their A game, I mean, without a doubt, they're capable of beating this Indiana team, who nobody has beaten at this point. To be fair, they are a good football team. But I think Alabama does have what it takes. They just have to find a way to execute. Real quick, Clint, I want to get your thoughts on something else. Now we've talked about the Rose Bowl. Early enrollees have arrived. I know there was an open practice for the media before they left. Any initial thoughts on some of these early enrollees, Clint? I know you probably got an, if you didn't, I know maybe EG got a chance to go check them out. But any early enrollee thoughts? I know Sadarian Morgan's a big one that a lot of people have been talking about. Quarterback Tamala, a lot of people are excited to see him. Bigger quarterback, man. He definitely looks all of 6'4", 220-ish. Anybody stand out to you so far?
I think it's great that they've gotten these guys on campus and then are allowing them to take part in practice. I think from just the getting the guys acclimated, a lot of times the early enrollees at spring football where they kind of get shell-shocked a little bit, and it's not until really the summer and really into fall camp where they start getting comfortable and can start to roll, which is why a lot of people say, like, if you don't enroll early, you kind of put yourself in a position where that shock is happening in fall camp, and so it's very tough to overcome. Well, these guys that are already getting to practice, some they're getting acclimated. To me, I think the spring for those guys can be even more of an opportunity to learn and grow because you've kind of gotten over that, at least to some extent. And so with Jet Tomala, I know Sadarian Morgan's already on campus, Jordan Edmonds, I believe Xavier Griffin. Like, these are all very highly touted, highly talented players who I think could end up helping Alabama. Maybe not Jet Tomala because you've only got one quarterback, but between Sadarian Morgan, Jordan Edmonds, and Xavier Griffin, I think you've got 3 5-star players who all could end up making an impact, whether it be in the rotation or it be, you know, potentially even taking a starting job. It won't be easy for the starting jobs, but Xavier Griffin is one that I'm really excited about. I was thinking about him and Justin Hill and the versatility that both of those guys bring to the table. You got one that's probably going to be playing, you know, really as an off-ball linebacker. You can move around and put him on the edge, kind of like John Campbell. You got Justin Hill who can play on the ball. He can play off the ball. Just the chess pieces there. And then adding guys like Jamarian Matthews and Nolan Wilson, having some inside-out versatility and can play and do different things for you. I just think that what they're doing from adding length and adding versatility to their defense is going to be fantastic. And then for a guy like, you know, Morgan, just on the offensive side, you know, while Isaiah Horton has certainly added some sort of length element, I think just the crazy ball-winning ability of Morgan, he brings that size element where he is just a dominant, catch point receiver. And so having that in the offense, I think, could certainly help as well, whether it be in a rotational role or whatever in 2026. So hopefully he's able to get on campus and learn the offense and they can get him involved, because I certainly think he can be a big-time help to Alabama, in 2026.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way they've been able to assess talent and recruit over the last, I guess, year and a half since they've gotten here, has been very positive, whether it's guys like Lott, Sierra Brooks, Justin Hill, like you mentioned, Michael Carroll, a number of these players, man, have been really good players. Not all of them are, you know, big 5-star prospects. So shout out to this staff for being able to, you know, have an eye for that talent. Real quick, last question, I promise, Clint. I just want to get your thoughts on this real quick, because we were talking about it yesterday, and I'm curious what you think about this. Cam Coleman, Auburn wide receiver, enters the transfer portal. Just real quick, I don't see it happening just because I'm sure he's probably going to be demanding probably north of $1 million and probably close to $2 million. But any chance you think he ends up in Tuscaloosa? And then I guess the second question is, speaking of additions, you think we go after anybody like maybe an offensive tackle? And if so, I mean, do you see that maybe happening? Because to me, I think if we're not going to go after, which I don't think we should go after, a guy like Cam Coleman, is too expensive. We already got plenty of money invested there, but I think tackle could be a position. I think there's several guys in the portal that could be of help. Do you think that ends up being something that we see Alabama does in the transfer portal?
I definitely think so. Now, Cam Coleman, I just think that they've already probably allotted quite a bit of money to that wide receiver position, and they're very disciplined in that. They're not going to stray outside of what they have allotted. And you got to think, I mean, I know that Sadarian Morgan isn't a guy who necessarily you would expect to step on campus as a true freshman and be this star player. But I guarantee you, while I know he really wanted to be in Tuscaloosa, I'm sure they took care of him from a financial perspective. So that's another one you talk about. I know Jerry Bernard's leaving. Maybe you lose Isaiah Horton. So I've seen some people say that's a possibility. You don't never know what's going to happen with Ryan Williams. I think he's going to be back in Tuscaloosa. But if certain things happened and a lot of funds at that position came available, maybe you could see them pursuing him. But I think you're spot on. I think tackle is by far the biggest one, in my opinion. I think that that is something that even, you know, and granted, you also got to understand this staff is very disciplined in how they approach NIL. The second you crossed into that bidding war threshold, you know, there's too many overlapping agents. There's too many kids that talk amongst these players. I mean, if you're going to get in the future, if you go and try to swing for the fences on a guy like Cam Coleman, this is a luxury just because he's a good player that might want to play for you. I mean, from that point forward, you start dealing with some of these agents or some of these players, and it's like, well, hey, you were willing to pay him this. Why aren't you willing to pay me that? You must not want me as bad as you wanted him. Like, it's just, once you cross that threshold, it's very difficult to come back. Everybody wants a piece of it. And I think Alabama's done a great job of giving guys respectable offers, but being firm to it. If they want to go elsewhere, if you want to lose a Tank Jones or somebody like that, we have a number that we are willing to hit. It's going to be in the ballpark, and it's going to be a respectable number, but that's it for us. I think that if with the connections that we've seen from him up to this point, Texas A&M are the teams that people are talking about. I don't think it's going to be a bidding, you know, I don't think Alabama's going to be involved in that. But I think tackle is going to be one where maybe they do try to spend a little bit. I think they could go after some affordable positions where you can get really strong quality players at a much more affordable price, like off-ball linebacker from an experience standpoint. I love the options, but I would love an experienced option in there to go with them. Running back potentially, but once again, all like the C.J. Baxters and stuff, I'm not on board with that. I think with between Crowell, A.K. Deer, and then Daniel Hill, I think maybe you bring in a Draylen Washington type of player that can end up helping you. Maybe you end up hitting on that. It's a good evaluation, but you're really not banking on it necessarily. But just to add experience to that room after losing some guys. And then on the defensive side, going back to it, you know, maybe the defensive line is a possibility. I think they're in much better shape on the defensive line than people think. And then while I'm encouraged, very encouraged by Connor Talty and how he's progressed, I still wouldn't be shocked unless he just has a phenomenal game against Indiana, game-winning field goal, 56-yarder or something. I wouldn't be shocked if they went out and at least added some level of competition for him. Will it be the reigning Lou Groza Award winner like it was a couple of years ago? Probably not. But I do think that they at least add somebody where if you continue to have any of those struggles, you're not kind of left as him being your only option. Those would be the main positions I'd be looking at if I was Alabama.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%, man. Definitely off-ball linebacker, I said. I mean, losing all three guys, you definitely want to have, even if it's just a veteran presence, man, somebody, which I, without a doubt, if they didn't do that, I mean, I would be completely shocked. Clint, man, I appreciate you hanging on. I know I kept you a little long today. There's so much to talk about, and nice to catch up with you, man. Before I let you go, well, as always, man, plug your stuff. Let everybody know how they can keep up with all the great work that you're doing, brother.
Absolutely, Christian. I appreciate you having me on. Always have a great time talking with you. You can find me on Twitter at Clint R. Lamb. Got the YouTube channel Cover Crimson. Wherever you listen to your podcast, search the Cover Crimson Podcast Network. And we got another special kind of announcement coming fairly soon on that front. So definitely, even if you follow the YouTube channel, the new stuff is going to be exclusively through podcast forums. So Apple, Spotify, once again, the Cover Crimson Podcast Network. You know, go ahead and go download it or subscribe or whatever you want to call it to make sure you're up to date on all that stuff. Once again, Christian, appreciate you as always. Have me on, brother.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure, Clint. We appreciate you, man. Hopefully we can talk a big dub next time we get you on here.
Absolutely, man. Good talking to you, brother.
Yes, sir. You too, man. Take care. Good deal. That's our buddy Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. You heard him, man. Make sure you guys go check out all their stuff. He said he got a big announcement, so stay tuned for that. I know all you guys already listen to Clint, man. Does a great job, but if you haven't checked his stuff out, make sure you guys do that. At Cover Crimson on all platforms, especially YouTube, and like you mentioned, podcast networks, and his personal, his ex account at Clint R. Lamb. Again, does a really good job. Breakdowns, information, as you guys just heard, man. He's one of the best in the business when it comes to all this stuff, man. He's definitely got a really, really bright future in terms of covering the sport, man. So big thanks to him for joining us and always being generous with his time on Tuesdays as he joins us right here on the Miller's Edge. We got to hit a timeout, catch back up. When we come back, we keep on rolling. 205-342-9904 is the number. We got a couple phone calls who we'll get to, plus some at messages and more, and some tape. Of course, we always like diving into tape. We'll do all that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC.
Offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9.
But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny but cold afternoon, the high today 41. Clear tonight with a low at 25. Tomorrow and Thursday, the weather stays dry. Lots of sunshine both days with a warming trend. The high tomorrow 51, the high Thursday 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 38 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. All right, we just got done chopping up with Clint Lamb and Cover Crimson again. If you guys missed it, just rewind the stream, or you can always go back and listen to the show wherever you get your podcasts from. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff, man. Always enjoy chopping up with Clint, man. He did a really good job breaking down this game. So if you missed it, just go back and you can catch that. But I put this on the screen real quick on the stream because we talked a little bit about this yesterday in our last, I guess, question to Clint was about transfer portal. He agrees with me. Price probably a little too high to be targeting a guy like Cam Coleman. And here are the numbers that I went out and found. So allegedly, Cam Coleman made over $1 million at Auburn last year. Yes, over $1 million. And it says he's expected to probably demand in the ballpark of almost the $2 million mark. So for anybody that was probably wondering, hey, man, are we going to be able to grab Cam Coleman? Well, I think that might be your answer. Not saying it can't happen, but Chase, we talked about having to shuffle some funds around. I mean, Courtney Morgan would have his hands full trying to figure out, you know, how to, I guess, allocate that money because, let me put this back on the screen. This was the report I was looking for yesterday for our radio listeners that can't see the screen. It's a graphic of Ryan Williams, and it has the number 1.8M below. Very big. Now, again, we don't pocket watch on this show. It's not my business what they make, but this is just for the reference of, you know, managing the team, I guess. This says, and this was from On3, it says Alabama wide receiver said to make north of $1.8 million a season, second most in college football for wide receivers. Now, that's according to On3. I don't know the validity of it. I don't know the accuracy of it. Hell, I don't even know if that's like from the revenue sharing piece, like from the university itself, or that includes his personal endorsements. I don't know. All I do know is if you have a guy making that already and you got another guy that's going to be demanding about that instead of around $2 million, no way in hell in college football you have $4 million on just two players at the same position. Maybe on two players, yes. But two players at the same position, both being wide receivers, it ain't happening. So Tia says, I heard those values be inaccurate. Trust me, I think they are too. But there's probably some truth in some of it. The point is, he clearly is making a lot of money. He's clearly one of the highest paid receivers. You already got one of them on your team. I just don't think, and when I say I don't think you can afford it, I'm not saying you, like, exactly you can't afford it. Like, we don't have the money to do it, but I just think in terms of, like, the way the model works and trying to make sure everybody's good, I just don't think it happens. I mean, what do you think, Chase? I mean, I got the graphics pulled up. Now we have some numbers to work with. Do you still feel like there's a green light on Cam Coleman, or now that you see the numbers, you're having a little, I don't know, second thought?
Second thoughts for sure. That that's crazy work, Christian. Yeah, we can just stick to other positions that would still add the value to the team. Like you said yesterday, you know, linebackers. That's a lot of linebacking core being gone. A lot of production on defense. Offensive linemen, like you said, I didn't really think too much about that. And then someone I mentioned, Isaiah Horton, potentially coming back. So I don't really see him going the draft because I feel like he's getting more confident as the season progresses. And I feel like he's becoming that guy that we can depend on and will be huge for next season. But, yeah, Cam Coleman, he was great for Auburn. No, he was amazing for Auburn. But I feel like with the wide receiver production we have this season and what next year could be like, we wouldn't really be in a hurting position if we didn't get Coleman.
Yeah. No, and listen, I think receiver room-wise, I think we're in really solid shape. I mean, guys, I mean, we got Ryan Williams, so I know, again, he's having a little bit of a struggle this year, but don't forget, I mean, the guy is very talented. And best believe, I promise you, as a competitor, even if this year, say he doesn't even finish on the right foot, I promise you, that dude's going to go to work this offseason. I guarantee you he's going to be set up to have himself quite the year next year. Best believe that. Ryan Williams will return to form at some point. I don't know if it's going to be this week. I don't know if it's not going to be until the middle of the season next year, but I promise you that dude has so much talent that he will be good. He will be good. So you got him. You got Latsier Brooks, Isaiah Horton, right? Good chance he comes back. He's a good player. Derek Meadows looks to be a good football player. You know, Sedarian Morgan, you know, a lot of people excited about him. Rico Scott and some other of these guys that are developing behind the scenes. I think we're fine in that department, really. Definitely would rather invest in the trenches like offensive line player, even, you know, off-ball linebacker. Without a doubt, you need that. But, again, didn't want to bring that up to Pocket Watch. It's just after the show yesterday when I was looking for all these things, I found them, and I was like, well, damn, there are those numbers we needed yesterday when we were talking about it. There we go. So I just wanted to throw those numbers at you guys and let you guys form an opinion based off of that information. Now that you see that, because I think it kind of puts it into perspective. But here's one thing, Chase, that I don't quite understand. While I understand the market will be going up, and I talked about that yesterday, it's inevitable. It always happens, whether, you know, whatever sport it is, department, whatever, you know, inflation, this and that, the market resets, somebody gets paid. He's the new highest paid person. The next person becomes that, especially in sports. However, you know, in the NFL, the salary cap is always changing, right? You know, the salary cap naturally, you know, goes up. But here's the thing, Chase. In college, there's not a salary cap, but you have, like, the max number you can contribute with the NIL revenue sharing. That's not going up. So these values are going up, but that number's not changing. So, like, where are they going to come up with this money? My point is that if the money for a top receiver a year ago was $1 million and now it's $2 million, that's all, you know, having to fit underneath the umbrella of the $20.5 million that they're allotted. That part I don't understand. Now, I'm not dumb. I do know they still are finding ways to add more NIL value outside of the revenue sharing. But to me, I still don't understand how they're finding ways to necessarily do it to that extent. You know, to a small degree, sure. But, you know, big numbers, all this is supposed to be being passed through the NIL Go or the clearinghouse thing. Whatever happened to that? Hell, I have no idea. I'm wondering it myself. But just, I guess, something to think about. But again, at this point, there's no guidelines. It's a mess.
I was just about to say that, Christian. I was going to ask you quickly, with the 20.5 you mentioned, do you think that's going to have to be increased eventually too? Now that, you know, like a wide receiver is getting X amount of money, quarterbacks are going to start barking up that tree for more money, because 20.5 at this rate, it's not going to be enough, I say, in 2 to 3 years, maybe even 4 years, maybe. So
yeah, great question. Yeah, no, and that's what I'm getting at, brother. I mean, like, it has to. I mean, because if you get to the point where a top receiver is $2 million, quarterback already went from 1.5 to 2, now quarterbacks are going upwards, you know, $4 million. That alone, you're at around $5+ million just for two players, for the quarterback and the top receiver. And again, that $20.5 million, that is not just football. That includes all sports. You get what I'm saying? So, like, to me, that doesn't make sense. The money is coming from other places. Listen, it honestly, it doesn't make sense. I don't know. I seriously question how the NCAA went from we couldn't be, you know, bought a hot dog by a booster at a flag football game, and that's illegal, and all of a sudden they're just letting all this stuff flow in, and they act like they don't have other ways to figure it out. And I get it, you know, different states have different, and some states NIL is legal for high school players and others is not. I get it, it's not necessarily that easy, but at the same time I feel like they overcomplicate some of these things. I personally do. That said, man, listen, one of the worst things that we're dealing with right now is the fact that, and I was talking about this over the holidays, man, the way things are, I feel bad because the players get a lot of this blame, Chase, but a lot of the times, really, it's the parents, man. It's the parents, it's the coaches, the high school coaches, the trainers, the uncles. It's all these people, Chase, that are going in these offices of these coaches or calling these coaches, and they're demanding. They're demanding, hey, my kid, he's doing this, or my player, he's this, he deserves this, or these agents, right? I mean, like, it's bad. And what's sad is a lot of these players, you know, like, they catch heat. Like, the fans, they're mad at these guys. And ultimately, I guess, you know, they can kind of make decisions for themselves. But at the same time, think about how tough it would be for a young guy who say their parents need some stuff, or and they're like, hey, son, you better, you know, if they don't pay you more, you're leaving. That kid might not even, or probably doesn't even want to leave, but he's got parents forcing it. You got parents demanding things. Like, brother, I'm just telling you, if you guys could sit into, it's like, if you could sit behind the scenes and know how crazy this thing gets, oh man, it would change your perspective. But that's another topic for a whole nother day. And we got plenty more to talk about regarding the Rose Bowl, even though we're kind of winding down on time. So we'll save that. We'll pack that one up. But looks like there's some breaking news. Allegedly, Deuce Knight, yet another Auburn football player, is now in the portal. So, Chase, we called it an exodus yesterday, mass exodus. Chase, this is, I mean, this might be beyond that, bro.
Yeah.
Like, listen, hold on. I think I have this. This was from yesterday. This is all the Auburn transfers. Real quick, I know we're getting sidetracked, but I mean, this is worth talking about. Literally, these are all the guys transferring out. This is their portal tracker. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. And now it looks like 28 is Deuce Knight, one of their, you know, key quarterback recruits from last season, a guy who had a lot of promise, a guy who came in at the end of the season, played because they were trying to save the red shirt of Ashton, what's his name, quarterback, Ashton Daniels, who I want to say he's also leaving, if I remember correctly. Claims Jackson Arnold's also out. Now Deuce Knight, I mean, at this point, I don't know whether the administration said, hell, burn it all down and rebuild, or I don't know what the hell this Golish guy just went in and said, but I'll just tell you, it's one thing if you want to completely reset and rebuild, but as you saw, like when Coach Saban left, you still should have some, like, cornerstone pieces, some guys with some pride to, like, hunker down and say, no, we're going to help. And I don't see none of that crap going on. So I'll be honest. And then I'm not speaking like this because it's Auburn. I'll be honest with you. I don't take the beef as serious as some other people. I just don't know much about Auburn in terms of, like, what goes on. I don't have a whole bunch of connections there. But to me, something is like, yeah, I mean, Chase, I don't know if I've seen this at this extent. Because he's in, like when we lost a lot of guys, they also were, I hate to say like this, a lot of the guys that entered the portal, that's why I also don't necessarily agree all the time when people make it seem like Coach DeBoer started with like nothing, because a lot of the guys that did leave either portal were a lot of backups. Yeah, we did lose a Caleb Downs, a potential starter at corner, and Amos, and Several other players, don't get me wrong, you know, center, I get it, we did, but to be fair, I would say probably 50% at least, maybe 60% really were more like backup guys. You look at this list, Chase, I mean, they're losing a lot of starters slash their key, you know, players, like key depth players or guys that were expected to step up and be, you know, significant contributors. I mean, they really are starting from zero. So I don't know what's going on there. But I do know if you're Courtney Morgan and you need some depth at a couple positions, I'm sure a lot of these guys are in-state guys. I'm sure a lot of these guys were recruited by Alabama. We might have some more Eagle on this roster here coming up. So I don't know. We'll have to keep track with this. But let's do this. Let's hit a timeout. We got an at message from Tia. We come back. We'll discuss that real quick. Worst case, I'll stay on the stream a little bit longer to watch some more tape with you guys since we didn't get a chance to do it as much as I'd probably like to. And we'll kind of roll from there. But we'll do all that when we come back after this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store.
Your tickets before it sells out right now at tuskarts.org. That's TUSCARTS.org.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
Don't wait. This offer ends January 15th. Get Babbel's lifetime access for less at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Back on this Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Quick couple minutes before we hang things up on the radio side of things. I'll probably stay on a couple more minutes, maybe. It does feel like I need to, I probably need to call the AC service. So I think it got so cold here, Chase, it's kind of knocked my heating out or something, because I was like, doing the show, I just kept getting, I don't know if you guys noticed, I'm over here like crossing my arms and stuff. There, people are probably like, why are you sitting like that? Started getting a little cold in here. I'm like, hold on, man. So yeah, probably need to check on that. But let's wrap things up here in a second. We got an at message from Tia. Let's go ahead and hear what she has to say on there, Chase.
You got it, Christian. She said, I agree with Clint that Alabama can attack their right tackle. And I also believe we can have success against their right guard. Those two offensive linemen allow the most hurries with the right tackle first and the right guard second. We also need to be prepared for their run-pass option quick slants, which make me wonder if we should play more man coverage. If you take away the quarterback's primary read, he's cooked. Offensively, I want us to get the ball to the edge. I don't care if it's screen passes, jet sweeps, or toss plays, but we need to stress them horizontally. Indiana is a sound football team, but they definitely have exploitable weaknesses. From Tia down in California.
Yeah, really well said. Yeah, and I'll say this. I mean, I think pin and pull, perimeter stuff, I think you definitely want to try to attack that. I mean, between the tackles, they do a really nice job on the line of scrimmage, those guys. They do. Linebackers are aggressive. You see them plug and fit guys in there, right? I mean, and there's a reason I think their linebackers have accounted for, it's like 13 or 17 sacks. My point is they're really aggressive there. So I think there could be some opportunities horizontally for sure. In terms of playing some man coverage, listen, that was one of the main adjustments we made against Oklahoma into this matchup. Typically, it made sense. I think when you talk about a guy like Jackson Arnold who has that dual threat ability, not a burner by any means, but he will carry the football. He will use his legs. You just got to be I wouldn't say cautious. I don't like that word. But you just have to be smart when you're playing a bunch of man coverage, because that means everybody's backs are turned. So if he's not contained, you're providing some areas for him to escape, right? And he can make plays with his legs. So I understand why we probably went into that game wanting to play more zone like that. However, you know, we adjusted, we adapted, we played more man coverage. And I think what it showed me is we had the guys to do it, which we already knew that. We have a lot of talent, but they've gone out there and proved it. I would argue that I wouldn't say Indiana has good players, but I wouldn't say their skilled guys are, you know, maybe if you're going against, I don't know, who's got like maybe like the best receiver room in the country, whoever that you might claim that group is. Maybe you want to mix it up a little bit more. You don't want to have your guys a man the whole time. But with this group, I think they're capable to play a lot of man coverage. And I think it'd be solid. I think, listen, whatever, I wouldn't say only do that. You want to mix it up, which we've been doing. But I think at the end of the day, it really just comes down to getting pressure, whether it's, you know, man blitzes, you know, sprinkling some simulated stuff with some zone concepts, just throw a lot of different stuff at him, continue to disguise. This guy, again, he makes really good decisions, but that doesn't mean he's, you know, perfect. It doesn't mean he can't be gotten with that stuff. So I think the biggest thing is just got to find ways to throw different stuff at him, make him uncomfortable, and try to make it, you know, get him off his spot, try to force him into doing some things that he typically probably wouldn't do. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting matchup, but we'll talk more about it. We got one more day to do that here tomorrow on the show, but for today, we got to get out of here. I'll hang out on the stream here maybe for a few more minutes if you guys have any last-minute questions or want to see anything on tape. But that being said, we will be back here tomorrow, our last day before the big matchup. We won't be live Thursday, only because all the pregame, you know, coverage and all that game does kick off at 3. So make sure you guys come back tomorrow again, 11. You guys know the drill. Central time. We'll get you guys ready for it. Take your predictions, all that good stuff. And then hopefully we'll be back on Friday with the Victory Friday edition of the show. And before I get out of here, for our radio listeners, make sure you guys check us out tonight over on the Bama Standard. I'll be hanging out with those guys at 6, so you guys can catch us doing that as well. This has been the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feast of America's art support experts. Big thanks to all you guys, Chase, our listeners, everybody that makes it all possible per usual. And looking forward to doing it again tomorrow right here at Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.